You're listening to the Rightstream Radio Network, rejoicing in the flow of creativity. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at Rightstream and hashtag Rightstream. Thanks for listening to the Rightstream Radio Network.
Good morning from Florida Space Coast and welcome to Get Fit, Feel Fabulous with Britt. I am Britt and your host this morning. I am a wellness consultant with Isagenix, and I'm passionate about helping people to feel their very, very best. Each week, I invite an expert guest to share their wisdom on a variety of topics from holistic health, good nutrition and weight management to becoming a successful entrepreneur and overcoming personal challenges. During every live broadcast, we welcome your calls. And the number is 347-945-7246. I really enjoy these morning shows. I've been doing it now for a couple of years, and I'm very grateful to Darianne DiGiovanni and Rightstream Radio for giving me this opportunity because I have met so many interesting people. And today is no difference because I have, actually her name is Cynthia L. Dougherty, PhD. She has just written an awesome book called Mind Tools to Shift You from Stressed and Frazzled to Calm and Vital. And who doesn't need that? Cynthia has been in the helping business for over two decades. Her all-embracing wisdom comes from her training as a wellness and life coach and a certified meditation teacher, certified school psychologist. Cynthia also holds a PhD in human and child development, a master's degree in family therapy, and certification in neuropsychology. Cynthia has practiced in a wide variety of settings, including a clinical practice, schools, hospitals, and major corporations. Cynthia now combines her psychology with therapy training with her love and passion and for neuroscience and mindfulness. Cynthia believes that bringing mindfulness into your life, both personally and in business, will help you optimize your ability to create a life of happy, joyous, and fulfillment. Awareness is the foundation of who we are and what we do, and is the key to self-knowledge, transformation, and being able to not just survive in the stressful world we live in, but to really thrive. Cynthia helps people reduce their stress by teaching them how their brain operates and then showing them how to rewire their brain using simple mind tools. Cynthia can be reached at her website, www.gratefulpeaceofmind.com. I am thrilled, Cynthia, to have you here this morning. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks so much, Britt, for inviting me.
So, your new book. I see that you really have some fabulous success. And how long has it been on the market? How long since it was released?
We launched the book in late October, and it's doing really well. We've been number one in six categories in Amazon, and we've had several other countries, six other countries actually number one. So we're doing really well. So I couldn't be more pleased.
That is just really fabulous. This is your very first book, right? So there was no recognition when you published this book.
Yes, it's the first book I've done by myself. I was honored to participate in a book for breast cancer, and I wrote a chapter on mindfulness, which you know some of the people for, and that's doing well as well. So I'm really excited. I'm already starting my second book. So it's great.
I have a feeling it's not going to be the end of it.
No, I don't think so.
No.
It's wonderful. The response is great. for men and women, which
yes.
I'm very pleased. I have equal amounts of men writing back on how much they're enjoying the book, so it makes me happy.
Now, of course, the number one question, why did you write this book?
I wrote the book because I just felt that we're in such a stressful environment right now, and I also was going through some challenges, and sometimes when you feel stuck and not really sure that you're going to be able to overcome obstacles that come our way, we just feel defeated, and there are some tools that I used successfully that made me feel so much better, and I see that every day with all the people that were seeing on a regular basis so stressed. I just felt like I had a gift to offer people to try.
Of course, I have been looking through your book, and it's just awesome. I really enjoy it, and it has helped me a lot. Because like you say, we are all frazzled. It's just amazing, all the impulses coming in all the time. And I see that you really have been making an effort, taking time all by yourself. Tell us about
yes.
that experience.
Well, I was actually very blessed to take a year, and I literally hold myself in a house. I moved out of my comfort zone, literally. I moved to a place called Annapolis. I didn't know anyone. I didn't have any friends around me. I didn't want to have any distractions, and I wanted just to, and I love the water, so I wanted to be close to the water. It's very healing. And I took the time just to embrace mindfulness and the peace and quiet, staying in your present. And I took the opportunity to write the book. And so I spent a year doing that. And it was a delightful experience. It's really wonderful shutting all your electronics off. Except, of course, on my computer when I was writing, but and I just felt that was a really wonderful healing. Not everyone needs to do that, but that was the perfect thing for me to do at the time.
It sounds like a very, very dramatic and drastic thing to do. So you completely were there by yourself and
yes.
No outside influence for a whole year. Well, of course, if you write a book, you're busy.
Well, sometimes you flow and you don't when you're writing a book, but it was a wonderful healing experience for me and transformational. I, of course, my children knew where I was and could communicate, and we saw each other during the holidays. But that was about it. I didn't want the temptation of distracting myself by getting out socially, because I knew I might fall into the pitfall of not finishing. And this is something I dedicated my year of my life to do.
Good for you, because this is really a great tool. And now for us regular people who don't see ourselves taking a whole year out of our life, what can you tell us? What are some easy tools for us to calm our minds and become happier, more relaxed?
Well, I think sometimes we feel guilty doing something for ourselves. And I think that's the first place that would be good for people to start thinking about, what do you do for yourself on a daily basis? It's not as if you have to have an extended time to do that. But think of the last time you did something for yourself that made you smile or made you feel good or just quieted yourself down. I recommend, and so do a lot of people with like Deepak Chopra, if you spend 10 minutes twice a day in peace and quiet, that's the best thing that you can do for your soul, but also your brain. You can rejuvenate cells that you're missing by just sitting quietly and quieting your mind. But it's a practice, and it's not easy to do. And sometimes people feel a little restless. But even if you can try a minute at a red light, for example, just close your eyes for a minute and just take a couple of deep breaths, three long deep breaths. You'll see that you'll get into a habit of doing that on a more regular basis, and how much better you feel, that you're de-stressing yourself and recentering. So I certainly recommend, if you can do first thing in the morning, if you can take 10 minutes and sit quietly. And yes, you're going to have some chatter and noise in your brain, but slowly you can overcome that. And we can certainly talk about that. But if you can do that, I recommend that first thing in the morning. I recommend it around 5 o'clock at night. And if you can't do it at 5 o'clock, do it at night before you go to bed. I also recommend people to shut down all their electronics every night an hour before they go to bed. No TV, no phones. Keep your phones as away from your bed as you can at night. And just take an hour and just wind down your day. That certainly helps you. You'll sleep better. You'll feel better. And it's just, we've become too addicted to all of the social media, TV, electronics, and it's a good thing for your body just to shut down before you go to bed.
Oh, I agree 100%. Not that I always practice what you're telling me, but I like the way you describe that, because when you ask people if they meditate, that makes it so much more complicated, and some people are scared of meditation. But just be quiet and breathe deeply. That is something we can all do.
You know, there are a lot of famous CEOs around the world, and it's funny, a lot of them are closet meditators. But the first thing they'll tell you they do, regardless, in the morning is they'll take 3 long, deep breaths before their feet hit the floor in the morning, and that in itself rejuvenates yourself and makes you feel like you can start the day. So I think it's really important. Self-care is something that we don't do enough of in this country or really around the world. Yeah.
But I think also, like you say, there are more closet people who they do things like that. I think our society is slowly, slowly coming around. If we could just slow down on the social media, that really is taking over, if you let it, that is.
Well, I love going to a restaurant and see people on their phones. They should be enjoying the taste of the foods around them and the company around them, and just taking a minute to pause and just feel grateful that you're with people or even by yourself. Food is a wonderful way to be mindful. Just tasting all the ingredients, try to think of what's inside the food, how it feels in your mouth. That alone is a mindful activity, and it's quite lovely.
Yes. I do try to practice that myself as well. No.
Yeah.
But when you see people, especially young people, sometimes for my morning walk, I go by like a school bus stop. They all have their phone in their hands, and they do whatever. And it's kind of, hey, this is sad. We should talk. We should communicate. And anyway,
people are losing connections. People are not connecting as much anymore emotionally. And it's then what happens is as they age, they're not really sure how to reach out and start a conversation with someone else because they've never had the physical contact of that. And people are losing that daily, really, which is important.
That's kind of scary. Yeah. What I really like about your book is all the knowledge you have about the brain. I have to say a lot of it just really went over my head, but I thought it was very, very interesting because you have the background, you have the experience, you have the knowledge. I'm very impressed.
Thank you. I love anything brain related. I find it interesting. So thank you.
Yes, you have quite a history there of what you have accomplished in your life. Now, so the benefits of mindfulness, and what is mindfulness compared to meditation?
Well, meditation is a part of mindfulness. It's one of many tools, but mindfulness itself does not mean that you have to sit on a cushion and sit chanting or however which way you meditate. Sometimes I think people are just a little intimidated by the word meditation. Mindfulness basically is staying in your present, and you're not thinking about something in the future, and you're not thinking of something in the past. You're just staying where you are. So, for example, just as we discussed, you can eat a piece of fruit that can take you 10 minutes just to really absorb the whole activity. But you're in that activity, you're in that moment at the time, and you're not thinking about anything else except what you're doing at that moment. You can be painting, you can be taking a mindful walk is a lovely activity. You can just notice, and for me, I grew up in San Diego, coming back east for that time period for me, just watching all the leaves and the colors of the leaves and how the leaves fall from trees. It looks almost like confetti. It's a really wonderful experience because you're just in that moment and you're not thinking about anything else except how your feet feel on the ground, what the textures or smells, or the wind blowing on your face, how that feels. So you're not thinking, oh my gosh, when I get back, I have to write down this email, or I have to send this, or I have to get to the grocery store, I better write my list. So when you meditate, you're more in the moment, but you travel to a different place and without realizing it. You transcend to a different place. And you don't want to do that when you're walking. You might walk into a tree.
No. No. Do you practice any particular kind of meditation?
I do different types of meditation on a daily basis, but I've been meditating for a while. So a typical day for me is I'll wake up and I spend about a half hour meditating. Part of that, I do a chant. There's an obstacle chant that some people believe that you're getting rid of obstacles. And I like to start my day knowing I'm gonna beat it to the punch to get rid of obstacles, so to speak. And I meditate with breath. I follow my breath in the mornings. And then I usually do 10 minutes to de-stress during, you know, around 5:30, and I'll sit just comfortably again on a cushion and just breathe for 10 minutes. And then I meditate before I go to bed, about 10 minutes before I go to bed.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it heals. You know, a lot of times people think when you reach 40, 45, there's not much you can do aging, but meditation and mindfulness is one of the best ways to keep your brain rebuilding and regenerizing. And so that's important.
Yes, absolutely. I try, you go in spurts in a way that I'm really conscious exactly what I do, where I put my keys and this and that. And then all of a sudden I go to the store and I come out and, where did I park my car? So it's hard to stay with it. It's good for me anyway. I'm sure it is for everybody. But I think a lot of people, because you spend a lot of time, and lots of people say, I don't have the time for that.
Yes.
So how do you respond to that?
I think if you think of all the things you do in a day, that taking 10 minutes out of your day to know that you're rejuvenating your brain, which is the most important part of your body for your future, I think you'll find the time. Even if you can start off slowly, just a couple, 2 minutes here, 2 minutes there. It's a practice, and it just takes time. And I think people think when they meditate, the voices will stop in your head, the chatter, the thoughts, and that all, no matter how long you've been meditating, that happens. It's a normal response of your body getting rid of stress. So you have to be good to yourself when you're meditating, because there are days that the champion of all champion meditators still have difficulties with thoughts coming into their mind. You just have to learn how to shoo them away. So 10 minutes a day is not too much.
No, that we should all be able to handle. Now, I find myself sometimes when I meditate, I fall asleep. Do you get any benefits out of that?
Well, you're de-stressing, but that's normal for some people to fall asleep. But if you can try to sit up or change your position, you might stay awake longer. But it's normal.
It's not very long. It's just a few minutes. But
a little while.
Yeah.
Yeah.
when you told me earlier what you're going to do this afternoon, I thought that was fascinating. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yes, I'm going to, it's called a gong bath, and I first did that a couple of years ago, and just felt, I just felt like I just ran a marathon. I felt so rejuvenated, and it's been, it's a practice that's been going on since 4000 BC, and it's a primal therapy for music, actually. But what it does is you lay down, and you can bundle up in a lovely blanket. And yes, people, some people do fall asleep during this. And you meditate laying down, listening to all the vibrations of the gongs. And what it does is it just enters your nervous system, and it just releases all of your stress. It lowers your blood pressure. It just does amazing things physiologically to your body. And when you're finished, you just feel very energized because you're releasing so much that's stored up inside of your cells. In a wonderful way, it releases all those things in your nervous system. So it's a delightful way to spend a Saturday afternoon. And the energy in the room, if you believe in vibrations, the energy of all these people relaxing and decompressing and having all this fabulous energy around you, it's quite a lovely hour and a half of your life. So,
It sounds absolutely rejuvenating and wonderful.
It's very yummy.
Yeah.
I look forward to it during stressful times. It's a wonderful way to release, and it's a great way to meet some interesting people. I love it.
I can imagine. Yes. Now, let me ask you a little bit more about your book. Now, what do you do to promote it? Have you been on book tours? What do you do?
I'm starting some book tours. I've done a couple. I've been in a couple of states. In fact, I was in Miami twice at Books and Books. And I'm starting some training programs, actually, webinars, and I'm doing a coaching program about mindfulness tools and also retraining your brain, which I'm very excited about. And I do a lot of speaking. I go to corporations and train about what mindfulness is and mindfulness leadership and also training. And I just love being a speaker for mindfulness and brain tools. I think there's so many things that we can do outside of just even that are just good for us. I always tell people, if you do the same thing every day to your brain, and by that, I mean, the more you change up your routine, the more you're adding pathways to your brain. And as we age, we like to be settled into regular patterns, and it's still not the best thing to do as you age, because you want to rejuvenate pathways and keep your brain active. If you do the same thing day after day, we're losing that. And that just in the end, you can see as people age that they become increasingly fearful and also increasingly forgetful. And part of that is as the younger you are and you try to keep changing patterns, it's a great habit to get into before you get too older to do that. So those are the kinds of things I help people learn about with aging, which I love.
Is this being received by large companies?
Well, you know, large companies have been doing this for about 10 years now. And in fact, a large amount of companies, for example, Google or Facebook or a lot of the tech companies, banks, Aetna Health, they actually have people that they hire full time to work within their corporations to offer these trainings and services to their employees because it increases your productivity. When you're thinking more clearly and you feel more joyful, you're coming to work more, there's fewer sick days, and people are excited about what they're doing. They're more productive, more creative, and they're happier in their workplace. So you're seeing so many more people doing this. I
am happy.
I wish we would see
Yeah.
Yeah. I wish we would see it more on the medical side which is what I'm really going to be promoting this year, and hospitals, hospital staffs, people who have a lot of pressure on a daily basis, finding ways to get rid of some of that gives not only better care to themselves, but the patients and the people that they're treating. So I think that's important.
Now, so is the medical profession kind of one of the last ones to see the obvious benefits of this, or is it just that they haven't been approached?
Oh, I think they haven't been approached, and I think a lot of times preventative medicine is now becoming more welcomed.
Yeah,
and this certainly is very preventative, but sometimes we are the last ones to help ourselves. I forgot how the shoe cobbler, his family doesn't have good shoes. I think physicians sometimes, they're not self-caring. I think people think taking care of yourself is more a narcissistic trait, but really it's actually something you're better at who you are by taking better care of yourself.
Yeah. Which, you know, I am in health and wellness, nutrition. And to me, like people who are in the health and medical field, they are not very open to learning about how you can take care of yourself when it comes to nutrition. And you can very often see that when you go to visit like a hospital, you see, I'm not saying all, but many, many, they are not looking like they're in good health.
Well, we could have like a 3-hour conversation about this, but I think it's all about your mindset. I mean, the next book I'm writing has a lot to do about your mind. And I think I think what happens is we're a society that's that teaches children and people with certain talents, as they recognize them when they're smaller, do we have a fixed mindset as opposed to a growth mindset? And I think that people who have specific careers, that they've known that that's what they've wanted to do for a long time and were rewarded for wanting to do that, have more of a fixed mindset. So this is something that they know they're good at and they're talented at, but it causes them not to get out of their box and think of other options because this is the only thing that they've been rewarded for, if that makes sense. And so it takes a little bit of time to understand how to get them to think outside of that box, outside of that mindset.
Right.
But it can be done. Yeah.
There is a little post on Facebook that I post once in a rare while, and it's a picture of a sweet little girl sitting in a lotus position meditating, and the capture is something like, if everybody starts meditating at whatever age, we would have such a much more peaceful world, and I seriously believe that.
I definitely 100% believe that too. I mean, the Quakers give these children every day 7 minutes at their seat just to be quiet, and those kids that they're showing now always seem to take that to the workplace as they age, just to sit in their seat at work for 7 minutes in quiet before they start the day. I think it's interesting.
I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This definitely starts with our kids, for sure.
Yes, absolutely. Yes. Now, of course, I would like you to announce a lot about your book and what you do. I love the practices you have in your book. Those are great to follow.
Good.
Yeah, no, it's the book is great. I really recommend everybody to go to Amazon, pick up. The name of the book is Lost, Found, and Rewired: Mind Tools to Shift from Stressed and Frazzled to Calm and Vital. And this is a book for everybody, and it's a book you read because it's written very well, and you tie in your personal experiences. That makes it very interesting. it's also a book you can just go back to and find exactly what you need for that particular day. I definitely recommend everybody get a copy. And your website again, I'll let you tell people what you would like them to know about your workshops, about how to get your books and your website. So go ahead, Cindy.
The website is www.gratefulpeace, like the peace sign of mind, and that's how I live my life, gratefulpeaceofmind.com. You can always send me an email. I'll be glad to answer any questions at my email, which is gratefulpeaceofmind@gmail.com. So I'm easily able to get a hold of me. The book is available on Amazon. Barnes & Noble has approached me about that as well. So we'll see what will happen with that. And I'm just doing a series of some TV and radio right now and some book tours. My focus really is to get into colleges and hospitals and corporations, because I really feel like going into the different aspects of mindfulness and for depending on where the environment is can only help. So, for example, we do mindful leadership. We just do simple, even just what is mindfulness. And I'm now starting another book about resiliency and effectiveness. And I think that's really all tied together with how we think about ourselves and our mind, how we establish things, patterns in ourselves by the way we think about ourselves and our inner voice. So I'm really excited about that because it's really the essentials for rebuilding your mind. And I'm quite excited about that. So those are the types of workshops we're doing. We're getting into high stress level jobs as well and teaching them how to become resilient, but also how to be more mindful and be better to ourselves, think better thoughts, because what we think is what we bring. That's what I really believe. So if you're constantly thinking negatively of yourself, we're only inviting those things that we fear the most to come to us. And so it's really important for us to really find some positive ways to start thinking differently. And that's what I do. I help people rewire their thinking. And it takes practice. All these things take practice. And once you start getting into a habit over 66 days, then it will come so much more automatically. But in life, there's never a quick fix. You'll see that they'll say 5-second rules, 90 seconds to happiness. I have so many things I've been reading about. They're quick, but they're not long-lasting. But find a simple thing today that just gives you, I call it a mindful tickle, something that just makes you feel smile as if someone just tickled you. It can be the smallest things that gives you a little joy. And savor that. And when you're not having a good moment, go back to that thinking of how great that felt with that mindful tickle. And it will last you a long time. And I do that every day.
I love it. I love it.
Yeah. It's just nice.
Yeah. I think it's nice when you get into the habit of doing things like that.
Yes.
And, of course, you said it will take 66 days to create a new habit.
It does take 66 days, and there's a lot of myths about 21 days. It's really not at all. It has to be at least 66 days. And there are reasons why people say 21 days, but it's really related to insurance, what people would. So it's really not 21 days. It depends on what it is you're trying to change, but it's really not 21 days. Yeah.
No. 66 days. Well,
66 days.
This has been very uplifting. I have enjoyed every single word you are saying and everything you have been sharing with us. I am very grateful. It has been such a pleasure to have you here on my show. I appreciate it. And I wish you the very, very best, because you have so many great intentions that we all need.
Mm.
So I'm wishing you the very best. And thank you so much for being on my show.
Thanks for having me. You have a wonderful show. And I look so forward to working together and doing an event together. I think it would be awesome.
I would love to do that.
Absolutely. And
you have
a great
wonderful
weekend.
Yeah, you too. And enjoy your gong.
My gong.
Bath.
I'll let you know.
Yes, enjoy that.
I'll send you
wish
some
it
pictures.
Was me.
Okay. Yeah, thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye, Bruce.
And thank you, listeners. We will be back next week, next Saturday, another show, which is also going to be a very uplifting show. So looking forward to that. Have a wonderful week, and bye for now.